I really want to ask everyone a question who watches this. Do we really think what we need right now is more male bashing? I'll read it again. When fathers do the minimum, they get applauded. When mothers do the minimum, they're a bad mom. Ladies, you don't have it worse than your men. You never will. And that little part of you is like, yeah, that's the curse. There is so much man bashing going on in this age. This question is so insulting. Not you, the person who says this. Are there evil men? Yes. Is the problem that they're men? Kinda. No, the problem is that they're evil men. And yeah, the evil men prosper. Psalm 37, first line again. But tell you what, there's a lot of good men out there that don't get applauded at all. And they got to hear this stuff all the time. More male bashing is not going to fix our problem. Our young men are brittle, broken, scared, weak boys because they've been bashed so much. Because the only father figures they're allowed to believe exist are Homer Simpson and what, Ben Kenobi? Your question's a really good question, what comes up next. It's a really important question. But the statement, when fathers do the minimum, they get applauded. When mothers do the minimum, they are a bad mom. You hear how divisive that is? Either or. That's Marxism. You want to hate communism? Hate this idea. Divide two people who shouldn't be divided over things that should unite them and then make them fight. Listen to this crap you're listening to. That's not the Bible. And whoever's teaching that in the name of the Bible needs to stop it. The Bible says, fathers, do not weary your children. The Bible says, children, honor your fathers. The Bible says, ladies, follow your men. And the Bible says, men, pray with and for your ladies, for they are the weaker, fair one. This is white noise. Now, your question's not. The quote is. I like your question. You go back and forth between wanting to take care of your children and husband by doing it all, cooking, cleaning, teaching, shopping, etc., and feeling like my husband should pitch in more because on the rare occasion that I need a minute to myself, he isn't able to take over because he hasn't had enough practice. Now, I don't know your husband from Adam. He might be the laziest guy on the planet. Okay? I'm not. So if that's what he is, I mean, it's just, he's just, my answer is still going to be the same. Okay? But I'm going to suggest he's as strung out as you are. And you're both doing this. You're both in this world. Ah, okay? And again, listening to not Bible teaching is going to make it worse. It's going to make it crazier. It's going to make you bitter. So, you go on. I'm expected to have the house clean, dinner made, children bathed. But when I have something to do outside the home, all he does is keep the kids alive. And when I get back home, I'm thrown right back into cooking, cleaning, teaching, shopping, etc. Where is the balance? Thanks. Second thing I don't want anyone to ask me anymore, where is the balance? Don't say the B word. There's no balance. There's no balance. There's tension. There's tension. You feel it. You feel a lot of tension, right? So you don't want balance. You want the tension on spectrum to release into a place where the tension feels good. That's a position of strength. Now, balance is not even that. Balance comes from that. You want that. You want a core. All right. So, don't search for balance. Realize you're in attention. Now, here's the thing. You list all the things you do. All the things you do. They're all really good things. Like, I'm sure everybody really appreciates those things get done. And when they don't get done, they tell you they don't get done. They may not do it in an appreciative way. That has a lot to do with how the family languages work. And if you're just piping in language from outside, it's going to be rude. we're people with unclean lips. We're going to speak like it unless you try intentionally not to, right? So instead of being like, Mom, thanks so much for making dinner last night, and can I help get dinner started tonight? You're going to be like, Mom, where's dinner, right? That's language, right? That's discipline within the order of our treatment of each other. That's how we talk to each other. But there's this other factor at work here, which I think is really important since I mentioned male bashing. And I'm not going to say that all the men are where they should be right now. Like the reason if you watched me the last year, I'm repenting like again and again. I'm like trying to like figure out how to just be a good man, right? And so I'm hardly saying that whatever your husband's doing is just all good all the time, right? No. But I am saying that if men are doing poorly, bashing them doesn't fix it. And we're in a big wind of let's bash them as hard as we can, and if they're white, doubly so. And so, again, maybe realize that the answer before it's someone else is always going to be you. And then ask yourself this question. How good are you at letting your husband fail? How often do you fix his problems? I think, you can call it my opinion if you want, I think it's pretty biblical. I think that part of the curse of woman, Genesis 3, her desire for her husband, which is one to overthrow him ultimately, is not always a direct attack to overthrow, like I hate you. It's just to make his life better than he can make it. It's just to rule him. And so if he, like, sets up his pieces, here's my pieces, and you're like, oh, look, if he does that, it's going to break. And you're like, hey, no, this one needs to go over here. Like, he'll be like, oh, you're my woman. Okay. But if that's all you do, he's going to stop playing. He's going to go play his own game somewhere else. So what that means is every time you fix anything, he thinks you want to do it because you won't let him. And if it's not fixed, because he won't fix it, he doesn't think it's worth it. Or he just can't get there because he's too tired. And he assumes since you're doing it, you want to. You must want to. And then you do that all this time and you carry this grudge. You won't talk. You harbor ill will rather than actually pray more. I recommend 1 Peter 3 for us all right now. Let's go to that. Pull that one up. I mean, God be praised. That's what I mean. It's a great text. I mean, verse 21, you're going to have, like, stuff about baptism saving you. It's even in the Bible and stuff. It's just nuts. It's like the Lutherans are right all the time. If only they believe it, you know. Chapter 3 starts, though, with this section about wives. Wives. Likewise, that is, as Christ submitted to the Father, and as you submit to Christ, so submit to your husband. That even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. So, here's the thing. Like, if you're a Christian woman and you're in a marriage that in any way ever isn't the way you want it to be, and you decide to fix it, you're choosing the Genesis 3 path. If you decide to pray about it, you're choosing the 1 Peter 3 path. I highly recommend 1 Peter 3 as the mode for trying to be a Christian. Genesis 3 explains why you do what you shouldn't do. Right? 1 Peter 3 will tell you, again, pray for the man, because without a word, you can win him by your conduct. But that might mean you have to realize your conduct doesn't belong in certain places, not unless it was asked for. Or that if you've taken authority from a man, again, if you have just gone ahead and taken authority from a man in America today, he is too weak-spined to ever take it back. Because you know why? You're going to get mad at him when he does. You will. What you're asking for, I guarantee you. I live this life too. We have a great marriage. We have a great marriage. We're working through everything. I got CPTSD and struggle with it. But I tell you, again, the more you pick up what he was supposed to do, the more, oh, did I write it right here? Here it is. The more you fix it as a woman, the more you'll fix it the way you want it. Why wouldn't you? The more you'll assert authority to change what he had set in place with his own authority, the less he'll be willing to take it up again against your authority because he loves you. The more he'll decide, I'll just shut up and let her have it her way. I mean, I don't mind it that much. It's not even that important to me. I can snake away and do something that's more interesting. I'm not saying that's right. I'm saying that's the world we've built. And the solution isn't to bash the men. The solution is stop doing their job for them and stop complaining when they do their job. I know. First Peter, let's keep going. Do not let your adorning be merely outward. That is what you look like. Nothing wrong with being pretty, but arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Verse 4, let it rather be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in God's sight. Remember where we just came from. Christ who suffers and doesn't open his mouth. Christ who suffers offense, something that's not just. Remember the lesson of Job, that his suffering is not fair, but it's for his faith to grow, for him to trust not in himself and his hands, but in Christ, his Savior. And so also for all of us, and you ladies, your husband is a place where this is a discipline to enact the rest of your life. It's a gift to you. Good or bad husband, it's all going to function with the same kind of reality. And the best Christians are still going to have the curse in their hearts, which means the man's going to lean tyrant all the time, and the woman's going to, you know, grumble against his authority all the time in our hearts. The discipline in Christianity is of the tongue and hands, though, right? So then here's the thing. Can you turn the hands and tongue of yours to prayer for your husband first? Stay there. If he won't pray the Sons of Solomon prayers, you do it. Do the Daughters of Wisdom ones too. What did Job do for his kids who weren't praying? He went and did it every morning. He ended up with different kids. Well, that's how God works sometimes. But husbands, you might get a new man born again right in front of your face. You just got to wait a while. How long did she pray for Jesus to come? That lady who was, you know, her husband died 70 years before she was.
Who are you talking about?
Oh, goodness. Song of Simeon is Anna? Yeah, Anna. And you got Hannah, too. I mean, she was praying hard there for a bit, too, for Samuel in the midst of that time when there was no Savior in Israel. I mean, just amazing. For in this manner, verse 5, in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Why would you be afraid? Because it's not fixed. Because it's going to break. Because what's going to happen? He won't fix it. Yeah, he's not going to till you let him see it break. Here's the thing about how men learn. We learn like after the third time. Yeah? So it's like bang the head, okay, I'll change it. And that's when we're like old, we figure that out. Boys, it's like 15 or something. Just keep doing it. Ah, it's fun. I'll keep trying it, right? So, but men, we have to bang the head. In some ways, it has to break for us to be able to fix it. Are we broken ourselves? Yeah, I mean, it's a sinful world. If you're trying to make your best life now, your perfect life in your house with your man, it will mean you will try to change your man, and then your man will be unhappy, and he won't be an active man, and then you'll be unhappy with him because nobody likes an inactive man. They're pathetic. But ladies, I mean, the answer is not more, it's less. It's not more, it's less. The guy's got to have space. That's a key thing right there. He's got to have space. Someone said to me about our boy the other day, he's got to be his own man. That was great advice he gave me. He said, he's going to be his own man. Let him do it. I was like, that made sense. All right. On this sin, I got more. Genesis 3, 1 Peter 3. I was talking about the husbands. Husbands. Verse 7. Husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding. I think that means read Proverbs 1 verse 2 and then realize it means read Proverbs. giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. This is the thing I never get about the ladies who, I mean, my whole life, ladies are just pissed off about this verse. Grumpy, pissed off, angry. You bring this verse up, man, you just get scoriated. You get looks, you get squints, you get all sorts of just, meh. And scoffing. And like, it doesn't say, you know, recognizing the stupidity of woman as weaker vessel. Like, it doesn't say that. It says giving honor to the wife is the way. The idea that you are frail, Meredith, beside me in a lineup, is a glory to you. And we live in an age where all the women think it's like a dishonor and a shame. And they're busy trying to be something else. So before you get too mad at me about anything else I just said, why don't you work on that one? Because I mean, I'm not going to say I'm jealous of women. I'm a man. I was made a man. Why would I be jealous of woman? Woman's curse is to be jealous of man, but you'll be freed from that in the last day, and you won't have to be a man to be so. You'll be a woman forever, gloriously. Oh, my goodness. I mean, God. So believe this. Pray this. Trust in Jesus. Oh, goodness. Husbands, so dwell with them. This is really key. Giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, being heirs, co-heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Men, if you let your women be men for you, you will pray poorly. That's what it says. So if you want to fix that, pray rightly first, and then you will begin to see the need to be a good man for your woman. And not just a good person, because there is a difference. So in your actual situation, where I don't know nothing about you and who your husband actually is, but you're doing a lot of work, and you don't know what to do, and you can barely drop the ball, and oh my goodness, and oh my goodness, oh my goodness, okay? I'm telling you, listen to on YouTube some Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus stuff. Try to get a hold of the book Wild at Heart, and then quietly pray those Sons of Solomon, Daughters of Wisdom prayers in the Psalter with all that in mind. And give that a year as you also have a very careful conversation about how you need to set a few things down in the home for a little while with your husband. Like, hey, my friend, my love, my master, my Lord, whatever you call him, you know, dad. I can't do all this week. Just so you know, some of it might get dropped. Don't make a mess. Don't be bitter. Just take one thing off your plate that no one ever asked you to do. And let him know it's not going to get done this week because this week's too rough. And then the next week, ask him how it went. See if he needs help again with it. See if he did it himself. See if he did, maybe he liked it. I mean, you don't know, right? So how much are you carrying is how much you're carrying, and you picked it up, probably. Because if you think your husband made you and he's a weak husband, he didn't make you. He's weak. He can't make you do anything. That's a problem. He doesn't make you do anything. That's why you picked everything up. If he could make you do something, he'd make you set it down, but you won't because he tried. He stopped. I'm not kidding. Guys, you know what I'm talking about. This is a universal experience here. I'm pretty confident of it. So I agree, though. Okay, so a man who goes and sells his soul to a computer for 8 hours of the day, and I don't mean, guys, you're going to hell. I just mean you're tired when you get home, right? It just wears you out. And you come home, and like sometimes if you've learned the value of work with your hands, you can fall into those dishes and be like, oh, this is better than work by so much. She's so lucky she gets to do this all day. Oh, my. Because it is. It's not like soul draining the way that the cubicle can be. But you also probably have a bad habit of coming home and wanting to have your soul sucked out even more. You're like, I'm so tired, I just want to check out. And so you put on this programming that doesn't check out, but checks you right back into the soul sucking you were just in, only it's like going to replace. So you got a bunch sucked out, and now you get a bunch pumped in. It's all crap. And then you're more tired after that, and you don't know how to talk to anybody, and you're kind of afraid and nervous and have a lot of anxiety because you got all the news from the week across the entire planet, and the place is going to hell. You think you can fix it. Actually, no, you don't. You just know you can't stop thinking about things you can't fix. And so, I'm going to go play video games. I'm tired. Oh, honey, where are you? I want food. I mean, who knows how it comes out by the end of the day. So, ladies, if you heard me saying the guys are in a good place, please continue watching the show. The show is directed at us guys saying, hey, guys, we suck. And it's time to get up now because it's getting bad out there. And at least pray your psalms. Jeez. You know, talk to your son once in a while. Spend some time with him, not on a screen. All that kind of thing. I'm going to go back to that first quote. When fathers do the minimum, they get applauded. When mothers do the minimum, they are a bad mom. I have never, ever been publicly confronted by a woman as a pastor over forgetting Father's Day. I've forgotten Mother's Day a few too many times. I've always been let know. Now, in the order of things, That story just says a lot. It does. Do mothers in this age feel overworked? Yup. Absolutely. Whose fault is it? It's probably not that simple. But I doubt it's just their husband's fault. Yeah. I mean, as the head, so the body. Pray for his repentance. That's your solution. Psalm 37, Psalm 95, 1 Peter 3. I want you to say something, my friend. Because I know you can couch that a little bit here.
You said whose fault is it? And that makes me think about when I was younger and wanted to be a mother. And that's all I wanted to be. And I was told, okay, great, but you have to choose something else. How about an architect?
Yeah, right.
What about a lawyer? You can be the president.
How disheartening was that as a little girl to have your heart set on loving your children and to be told, yeah, it's not really valuable?
Yeah. It was hard. And then, so my point in even bringing that up is not to say, oh, woe is me, aren't I poor? But it's to say, fathers, watch what you encourage.
Yeah.
Because that sets the stage.
Here's one more for you. Was that anonymous? If you're still watching. Look, the world has sold you a bill of goods. They said, be robo-mom. You're like, I'll be robo-mom. Yeah. It's just like Jane Jetson. Just push a button. It's really easy. Yeah, right. They said, be robo-mom. I'm going to tell you right now. Be a queen. Royal. Married to a priest and a prophet if he's a Christian. Act like it. Daughter of the king. Bride of the prince. Stop being robo-mom. No one needs robo-mom, actually. Hot meal? Awesome. Clean clothes, great. Robo mom, angry. Be a queen. I'm trying to say that all the work you're doing, our friend who listed all those things, like none of those things aren't benefiting humans. Those are all like amazing gifts to those people. If they're unaware of it, they're unaware of it. That's not a reason to stop as a Christian. It's a reason to pray in a certain way as a Christian. And then trust that Jesus is the chain breaker. He'll break it. It takes time. Discipline is knowledge over time.